Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. Thursday, right? It's Thursday?
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bill Sturm is in the room with me as well as Dwayne, and I pulled up an article that, I can't believe. The title is Pentagon to Mark Gay Pride Month, June 15th, 2012. Pauline Jelinek, it's Jelinek is the last name, coming to us from the Associated Press. Dwayne, introduce the article, please.
Last summer, gays in the military dared not acknowledge their sexual orientation. This summer, the Pentagon will salute them, marking June as Gay Pride Month, just as it has marked other celebrations honoring racial or ethnic groups.
Okay, that's the issue, isn't it, guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the issue right there. I'm grabbing the Fayetteville Observer right now because it has an article on here with the Southern Baptist that I just want to bring to your attention as well. You know, the Southern Baptists elected their first African-American president, and then at their convention happening at New Orleans, they also took a stand on the gay marriage issue. And they passed a resolution that affirms their belief that marriage is the exclusive union of one man and one woman, and that all sexual behavior outside of marriage is sinful. Then it goes on to say that the resolution acknowledges that gays and lesbians sometimes experience unique struggles, but declares that they lack the distinguishing features of classes entitled to special protection. It goes on to make reference to the fact that this is not a civil rights issue, and that they voted nearly unanimous at the convention to acknowledge that. So isn't that the issue to the article, Bill?
Right, and several things come to mind for me. First of all, and I'll just go one at a time so I don't dominate the conversation here. I think that if I were an African-American, and by the way, hats off to the Southern Baptist Convention for voting in the first African-American president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Go back over a century, and the reason that the Southern Baptist Convention split with what became the Northern Baptist Convention was the issue of slavery to begin with. So the fact that the Southern Baptists, which became slave owners in the late 1800s, mid to late 1800s, has an African-American president who I am sure is ready for the job. I'm sure that they have vetted him, and theologically, this is not some sort of civil rights statement. But I just want to say that if I were an African American, or let's just say if I were a female, thank God I'm not. I'm glad God made me who I am. But if I were an African American or a female, and I knew that the gays and lesbians were getting the same sort of commemoration as an ethnic or gender group, I would be hot. Hey, wait a minute. You're saying that the fact that you are a homosexual is right on par with the fact that I am a black man or I am a woman.
And they are.
Of course they're saying that.
They are very upset. And that proves that the polls with the voting of striking down the same-sex marriage amendment that just got struck down in North Carolina, overwhelmingly in North Carolina, overwhelmingly in the state of California, the number one group that voted for marriage between a man and a woman were black African-American males.
Hmm. What about that?
Overwhelmingly.
Well, I'm glad.
Overwhelmingly that voted for it, for marriage to be same-sex marriage, was white women.
White women, yeah. Yeah.
What? White men were mixed. They really didn't care.
Yeah, imagine that. In the latest remarkable sign of change since the military repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the Department of Defense will soon hold its first event to recognize gay and lesbian troops. It comes 9 months after the repeal of the policy that had prohibited gay troops from serving openly and forced more than 13,500 service members out of the armed forces. Details are still being worked out, but officials say Defense Secretary Leon Panetta wants to honor the contributions of gay service members. Why can't we just honor the contributions of service members, mm-hmm. Bill? What difference, Dwayne, does it make whether they're gay or not?
It doesn't. And if I was a World War II veteran who is still alive today that fought at Normandy or fought on Iwo Jima, I would be very offended that they are equating 13,500 service members that were forced out of the armed forces of being the same as me that fought at Normandy or fought on Iwo Jima.
You know, you've got a son in the military. You've had aspirations of military. I think your son serves in the military. I've been active duty. I'm a reservist. Pastor Sean, you're a retiree, over 20 years in service to your country. What I think bothers me the most is I could see this coming years ago, 10 years ago, in my first duty station in Baumholder, Germany, when I found out while studying for the sergeant board, as you did way on back, when I found out that it was a uniform code of military justice infraction for just adultery. You know, if a man was cheating on his wife or a female service member was cheating on her husband, that was punishable mm-hmm. by uniform code of military justice. And to me, this is the issue of not only are we not penalizing heterosexual immorality, we have just swung the opposite way. It's not so much, man, I can't believe that now they're honoring the homosexuals. The truth is, I don't hate homosexuals. No one in this room hates homosexuals. This, to me, is just the natural way that this pendulum was going to swing. When you stop punishing normal immorality, when do you stop? Where does it stop?
Well, there
where
is no,
it really
stop? Bill, there's no immorality. That's the new standard. What is immoral at this point?
Well, if you get caught, you just get put in a different company. Mm-hmm. You get moved away from the threat, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know,
a couple paragraphs down, it says, this must event will follow a long tradition at the Pentagon of recognizing diversity in America's armed forces. Hallway displays and activities, for example, have marked Black History Month and Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. So once again, they are equating homosexuals along with in the same category of blacks, African Americans that have served in the armed forces and Asian Pacific Americans that have served in the armed forces.
All right, so when you look at the pictures that'll be in that hallway, because I've seen these displays, having sure. spent a little bit of time, you'll notice that they're all black soldiers, or you'll notice that they're all Asian soldiers. What will be the distinguishing factor when you put them in uniform, Bill? What will we see that will alert us to the fact that, oh, these are all gay soldiers? I mean, this is sick.
Of course it is. And strangely enough, we had the inequality between the races, and we had a constitutional amendment to give a black man a full vote. Mm-hmm. We had gender inequality, and we had a constitutional amendment to give a woman the right to vote, the 19th Amendment, I believe it was. What do you do with this?
They already have the right to vote, Bill.
Of course.
They already have the
right
to vote.
They have the full vote.
Right. There isn't anything.
We're putting this on the same level as something that required a constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm. And once again,
racial and gender inequality.
As we have just discussed before, striking down the law of or in the vote did not prohibit them from
practicing
yes.
this sexual behavior.
We're talking about on a state level.
Yes, on
a
state level.
Right.
Yes.
Now, your son is in the Army.
Right.
Now, this means, I will tell you that on this month, I promise you, there'll be at least one event, one mandatory event, that he will have to go to in which this is thrown in mm-hmm. his face. Mm-hmm. Now, what does... What does a man or woman do who has a true fear of God and attempts to desire to serve in an army in which this behavior is being promoted?
I guess about the only parallel that comes to mind is many of the Bereans, many of the folks that we have the privilege of serving. By the way, kudos to that sermon last night, Pastor Dwayne. Many of the people that we have kudos to serve, we get the opportunity to serve, have their children in public school. The only real close parallel I have to this is someone who believes they are created in the image of God, sitting in a science classroom being told, no, you didn't. You came from an evolutionary process. I suppose that's the closest parallel I have to sitting in front of someone who tells you it is okay for a man to leave the natural use of a woman and be burned in his lust towards another man. I guess that's the closest parallel that I have.
I guess I can't believe how fast this is happening. I mean, it's less than a year ago that the repeal, and now we're celebrating it. If you think about how long it took the Army to integrate, and this is full speed ahead. What's next?
I don't know. I was dumbstruck when I saw this. You know, this is about the second. Remember earlier this week, the same Secretary of Defense outlawed the use of branch service insignias and logos on Bibles. You might remember earlier this week he did that. Mm-hmm. I think the only hope that I have, humanly speaking, if I were just a God-fearing, conservative, heterosexual male in America, I think the only hope I have is seeing that the Attorney General is being held in contempt of Congress. Mm-hmm. I think that Congress is getting tired of the White House pushing its agenda and blurring the lines of the distinction of duties between the branches of government. I think that that gave me a real glimmer of hope here midway through the week when I see Eric Holder, the Honorable Eric Holder, is that being held in contempt of Congress. It could very well be that this will soon follow. This will soon follow. You know, this did happen in history. Pastor Sean, you're a history buff. Pastor Dwayne, you guys love history. I'm getting to love history. I'm getting to know history. But this, really, when I start seeing the blurring and the pushing through of the White House agenda of both same-sex, spending, you name it, I'm reminded of the days of Cromwell. You know, and how it happened there, and Parliament said, okay, that's it. We're taking over, and sorry, King, you're out of a job. I don't wish that upon our government. Of course not. But that is certainly, that's what flashes to my mind, is when are some people going to say, stop telling us immorality is okay?
Well, there's two things that came to my mind this morning. Number one is, and we've discussed this before, Pastor, on previous broadcasts we've done, is we have to teach our children in our homes, in our Christian schools, in our churches, a biblical worldview.
Right. There's nothing that is said in our presence that doesn't go through that gate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, we need statesmen. We need statesmen. Samuel was a statesman.
Now, what do you mean? You mean, are we talking about politicians?
Yes. Okay. Statesmen that will rise up like Cromwell, like William Wilberforce, that will rise up and say, in the Constitutional Hall of Washington, D.C., and in our state legislative buildings, thus saith the Lord.
Senator Rand Paul said, yes, we need revival.
Mm-hmm.
He was quoted as saying, mm-hmm, we need revival. Mm-hmm. Now think about how that senator saying we need revival flies in the face of Bill. Look at this article right here that I downloaded.
Is it from the Charlotte?
Yeah.
I read that this morning.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell us about that article.
Charlotte PD now has put forth a policy that any chaplain is not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus because of the possibility of offending a Muslim, a Jew that does not believe in Jesus. And of course, a former Methodist minister who is a practicing lawyer, a member of the ACLU, states it's past time when they should have made a policy.
Yes, we need to make a policy to get God out of America. We need a policy God right out of America. We need to silence all chaplains. We need to build. We need to make sure that no Bible has any military signal on it.
We need to remove all the crosses.
We need to make sure that preachers can't say what they want. At the bottom of that article, it goes on to say that another guy resigned when a lesbian was voted in as a chaplain in there. I mean, this is the direction. This is the direction. Full speed ahead.
And I'm challenged when it comes to the Army chaplaincy, for instance. You know, I don't have an answer yet. I'm talking to my father, talking with you brothers, talking with other people who are in the same boat. As soon as we started this conversation, I had another chaplain buzzing my phone. I'll return that call when we're done. You know, the question is, do you get out of Sodom, or do you stay put and A, pray that God does a miracle, or B, prepare to suffer for His name's sake? Because I don't have the right answer between those three options. God, I'm going to wait on You for a miracle, or I'm going to settle in and count it worthy to suffer shame for Your name, or I'm just going to get out of Dodge. I'm going to find a new place to peacefully exist with me, my family. Because what this makes me want to do, it makes me want to put on my... I have a desire to be non-confrontational. There's nothing in me that wants to pick a fight in of myself. I want to hide. I want to take my family. I want to go into the hills, and I want to hide. And I want to invite lots of God-fearing Christians to follow us. And I want us to evade society. That is in my flesh what I want to do. But I know that that is not what Christ intends for His light in a dark world. So, I don't have a warm fuzzy about reading this article this morning. I was sick over it, to be honest with you. I needed to spend some time in prayer because I was really upset about it.
But good thing is we do have men such as Dick Button and others
right.
that are running for political office. Now, if I can go back to the Charlotte, Pastor Terry Sartain, who has been a chaplain with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department for 7 years, he says this: "When I heard this, I was sad." Sartain said he learned of the policy when he got a phone call before a recent promotion ceremony saying he could not use Jesus' name in his invocation. "I asked if I could withdraw, because Jesus is the only thing I have to bless people with," Sartain said. But here's the kicker. He was allowed to withdraw from the ceremony and was told it would hurt his standing as a chaplain.
Absolutely. Well, just imagine, Bill, and you're not active duty, praise the Lord, but active duty chaplains could be put in quite a bind when it's time to plan how the battalion is going to celebrate Gay Pride Month. And now somebody on that battalion staff is going to get tagged with the responsibility, either the EO officer or the EONCO or somebody on that staff is going to get tagged with the responsibility of planning how the battalion is going to celebrate Gay Pride Month. And so you're a active duty heterosexual chaplain who has real fundamental problems with this article, and you tell your commander, "Sir, I'm sorry, that goes against my conscience. My accrediting agency will not allow me to do such a thing." He cannot force you against your conscience, Bill, but he's going to write your evaluation report.
Oh, yeah, he's going to say it without saying it. He's going to say it without saying it. There are things that you don't say, and you've said plenty. You get center mass, you get two blocks, you name it. There's just a number of things that he can do to make sure that you probably won't get promoted again.
So what will happen, Bill, is those in the years to come that rise to the positions of authority will be those that don't pray in Jesus' name.
Right.
Those that plan these kind of events. Those that are as inclusive as you get. Those that walk away from the gospel as much as possible, That's who's going to be in charge of the Corps of Chaplains mm-hmm. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, outside of a major shift, you know, what will the next president do? Mm-hmm. Will he go in here and make sweeping changes and then and risk alienating all these gay people that are in here? Because the article goes on to talk about, listen to this sentence. At West Point, the alumni gay advocacy group Nights Out was able to hold the first installment in March of what is intended to be an annual dinner in recognition of gay and lesbian graduates and Army cadets. Wow! Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine if you are a West Point grad, Bill, and you find out that your school that you have given money to and that you're proud of is now hosting an annual event to celebrate sexual behavior and orientation that is an abomination to God?
Well, not only are the West Point grads sending money, that's our tax money.
Of course it's our tax money.
That is our tax money at work.
How slippery the slope. Our tax money's been paying for abortions for years. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Our tax money pays for the chaplain that plans the gay Pride Month. I mean, this is unbelievable. We did a story of the school up in New England that during their celebration of Gay Pride was having condom contests mm-hmm. and just all kinds of sick and immoral. I mean, I just have no idea. We don't have a heterosexual Pride Month.
How about a straight, conservative, white Pride Day? You know, can you imagine how up in arms we'd be to have a white guy commemoration month?
Oh my God.
It's laughable.
Of course. It's insane.
Yeah. If you're straight and you're white and you're male, we're glad to have you. You're not going to have any of that. So much for civil rights. Good
right.
heavens.
Right. Right. It is an amazing double standard. Mm-hmm.
It then goes down to the last part of the article. It says, President Barack Obama on December 22nd, 2010, signed legislation repealing it, framing the issue as a matter of civil rights long denied. Mm. So there we have, once again, equating it with the same as the civil rights fight of the African Americans. Hey. Obama said, "We are a nation that welcomes the service of every patriot, a nation that believes that all men and women are created equal."
So look, he invokes a creator there.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about a creator. So mm-hmm. he wants to have an administration that revels in the idea of separation of church and state in one breath, and in the next breath, he has no force
right.
for his supposed leverage of rights if he doesn't invoke a creator. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We are a nation that welcomes the service of every patriot, a nation that believes all men and women have evolved equally.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He said creator.
That's why they've got to be, remember, they've got to be religious. If homosexuals are not religious, then they cannot be evolutionists either, because the survival of the fittest would not work. They would die out.
Mm-hmm.
They can't reproduce. There's no survival of the fittest. That's why they have to believe they're created that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God made me this way, and that's why, in their view, it is a civil rights issue. That's exactly where it's going to. You just can't fathom what's next on the horizon. Think about gay marriage, Bill, in the military. I mean, so now the military will begin paying, because if you get paid, you get married, Bill, you get BAH, you get the housing allowance, which is what BAH is. You get, okay, so now two dudes just shack up. They're already shacking up.
Right.
But now they shack up officially, and it costs the money, the Army, substantial more money. Now, they're already getting medical benefits. They're already in the Army. They're both of them are soldiers. Okay, what do you do with their sexual behavior in Afghanistan? Their sexual behavior in Iraq, where it's supposed to be contained for all soldiers, but their partners in the same company, in the same platoon, in the same squad. Can you imagine how difficult it would be on your son to have to walk into a room and find that behavior going on?
The frustrating thing is I can see the dynamic, and anyone who will sit back and just think this through will understand the dynamic. One of the two is going to be the nurturer. If you've got a rifle squad and you're under fire, in a heterosexual situation, you're both warriors.
That's right.
One of you, you're going to make it out one way or the other. You're going to drag the buddy out. But you look left or right and see the weaker vessel suffering, you're going to become the nurturer. And all of a sudden, that fire team is weaker, just like that. Because if my wife was out there in the fire line with me,
of course it'd be,
holy smokes.
You couldn't even focus on what your job is, Bill, because your whole focus would be getting your wife out of the combat zone and protecting her.
Right.
And in this dynamic, Bill, there's always somebody who seems to have the, quote, male role and somebody who has the feminine role. That's just the way it is. No one wants to hear me say that, but
that's just the way it is.
It's really just the way it is. You use the word nurturing, but that's what you're talking about.
Of course
here.
It is.
Because we're going back to the way God made us. We understand that there should be in a relationship a husband and a wife. So somebody seems to adopt that effeminate role, for lack of better terms.
It changes the whole dynamic of the warrior spirit.
The warrior ethos.
Yeah.
Everything about it. I mean, you can't have it. The reason we don't allow husbands and wives to be in the same unit, the reason we don't allow that is because of the conflict of interest. So what's going to happen in these situations right here, Bill?
Right.
Where there is no clear gender distinction to show us what the problem is. Man, the Army needs to slow down.
Yeah.
The Army and the Navy and the Marine Corps, they're moving full speed ahead. And we shouldn't be surprised. The new Secretary of the Army comes right out of the Obama administration. So, of course, he's using the Army as a means. Mm-hmm.
It's an experiment.
Of course it is.
Well, I want to just point out something you said earlier, Pastor Duane, and I thank you for saying it. It's a good reminder. I knew it, but I needed to be reminded again that we do have godly men and women in Congress. 100 senators, 435 seats in the House, if memory serves. So we've got over 500 people that are taking up one-third of our government when it comes to the separation of the branches. And if there's anything that gives me hope, it is the White House thumbing their nose at the Defense of Marriage Act. I hope they keep on pushing it, because then Congress is going to slap them right on the nose. That's exactly what needs to happen here, is Congress needs to stand up and put someone in contempt. And so I hope the White House keeps pushing the envelope on the Defense of Marriage Act.
And I even saw a female Democrat congresswoman yesterday stand up to Holder and said, "This is out of line."
Right.
So she broke the party line there, and went with the Republican side and voting for contempt.
Well, if Congress sits down and lets this happen, we haven't seen the end of executive orders. We haven't seen the beginning of executive orders.
He is now putting himself as a king.
Right.
Well, sure. If he can give discretion, Dwayne, to 800,000 illegal aliens overnight. You're no longer subject to deportation. You're now allowed to be in this, just like that, one sweeping executive order. You talk about king, czar. And if this happens during the first term, what will the second term be like? What will the second term... What will 4 years from now look like?
We'll be Greece.
Yeah. I suppose that the collapse of America would be its greatest hope at that point.
We'll be Greece.
Well, when you think about the fact, Bill, that there's very, 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 very little indication that America is involved in the end times as described in the book of Revelation, we cannot remain a superpower.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, folks, pray for revival.
Join us.
Yes.
We are not giving up on this. We believe God answers prayer, and we are students of history. We have seen God bring revival.
If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be bringing this program. The reason we're bringing this program is to educate you, to ensure that you do know how to vote, that you don't just vote party lines, that you don't just make ignorant decisions, that you think about what you're, how you're voting, that you look at those congressmen, you look at those senators, you find out how they vote. The best way to change things is to vote the bums out of office.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Yes. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Dick Button, I think, is in his 60s.
He is.
He's running for North Carolina House. So consider running for a political office.
I don't care.
Make them scared.
I don't care if it's a non-paid magistrate position where you drive around and look for potholes in the bum Egypt somewhere. Start somewhere.
Right.
If you've got time, start somewhere. God has blessed you with financial independence where you can set your own hours, not so that you can get really good at the links or shuffleboard. Use your time wisely. You get one life. Run for office.
Yeah, run for office. Run for school boards.
And pray.
Run for school boards. Yes.
Well, thanks for listening. Have a great day.